This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, you might have seen a higher than usual number of tractors on the roads over the last few months, their numbers boosted by those making trips into London to protest about the government's plans to impose inheritance tax on farms. Now, inheritance tax is, of course, the tax that is paid on property when it passes from one generation to the next. Currently, full relief from inheritance tax is available for most agricultural property and business assets held for 2 years before death. Now, the government's change would lead to farmers paying inheritance tax at 20% on inherited farms valued over £1 million. Hannah is a local farmer, farming land in the Mimran Valley where she grows grapes, among other things, and does her best to help wildlife along the River Mimran, as one of the leaders of the Mimran Farm Cluster. I spoke to Hannah and I started by asking her why she thought that farmers should be exempt from inheritance tax that the rest of us, including other family businesses, have to pay.
So I suppose the way to see this is not an exemption or a loophole as such. It's not a way for farmers to try and get out of paying a tax that everyone else has to pay. The big difference is that family farms, particularly small family farms, which is what we're really focused on, they are businesses that are asset rich and cash poor, which means that even though a farmer may own several hundred acres, that doesn't mean that they have the money to pay for inheritance at the point of succession. In other words, when the business is handed down to the next generation. So it's very important to point out that this is not a loophole that's in place for farmers to avoid taxes. And indeed, we pay a lot of other taxes just like any other business. But what's important is this is in place to protect food security. This is in place to protect the handing over of businesses where farm businesses do not earn enough money to pay taxes. For example, the average income for a family farm is around £40,000-£45,000 per year. And that has to be split usually between two, maybe three people that might be supporting a family of four. So you can kind of do the maths and imagine what several million pound tax bill would look like on that income basis. So it's not a loophole. It's something that's put in place to protect the very complex nature of farming in this country.
So you use the term family farm there. What other kinds of farms are there? And what kind of farms do we characteristically see around Hertfordshire?
Hertfordshire is made up predominantly of family farms. So what we mean by this, as opposed to perhaps larger scale farms, is generational farms that have been handed from one generation to the next. The flip side of that might be larger scale farms, contracted farms. It's not black and white. We don't want to try and just skip over what other farmers are doing on different scales, because of course we are all still producing food and it's vital for the food security of this country. But the reason this is being coined the family farm tax is it's the family farms that are going to be affected, because it's about inheritance. And so what we see in Hertfordshire around us are plenty of family farms. They want to be handed down. In some situations, there is not a successor. In other situations, the successors are too young. In other situations, the person handing down is very elderly. So we see lots of different situations. And this tax brings huge precarity to the delicate sort of system we have in place for handing down those farms.
Okay, so you live on a family farm, Hannah. If you don't mind, can you say if the government's proposals will affect you or perhaps other local farmers that you know?
Yes, so working on a family farm myself, we may be directly affected by this tax. It's really important to put plans in place. And so that's one thing that this tax has enforced, is make sure you've got a succession plan in the pipeline. But we've heard some really, really challenging stories from around us, and in particular, families who perhaps haven't sorted succession yet and have elderly or perhaps unwell people currently in charge. And what happens with succession is you have 7 years after the handover to basically have to survive, to put bluntly. And if the person handing down survives 7 years, you are exempt from the tax. Now, what this basically means is that many of our neighbours are now fretting about survival, literal survival. And it's quite serious, to the point where some have been told, for example, to not travel in the same car as their family for fear of what the succession implications might be if there were to be an accident, for example. So it's really surreal. And we're working in a sector that's already one of the most dangerous. It's quite challenging to be told these kind of quite troubling pieces of advice. And so it is affecting us very directly. And the way that this tax is set up, anything below £1 million being exempt, well, I can tell you in absolute certainty that in this county, there are not many farms, if any, that will be within that threshold, because the cost of machinery, the cost of a barn, perhaps a farmhouse where the farmers live, let alone the land attached with the costs that we see in Hertfordshire, it will be a wonder if any really survive. So it's very troubling indeed.
Now, one of the reasons why this change to inheritance tax is proposed is that wealthy people were apparently buying farms as an investment specifically to avoid having to pay inheritance tax. So surely it's better for farms as well as the exchequer that this loophole is closed.
Well, it's never black and white, and this is a highly complicated issue. And I think the trouble is, what's happened is that it seems like a simplistic option. Just like you say, close the loophole, no problem. That will mean we can grab hold of those who are perhaps avoiding inheritance tax, using the land for those purposes, and it will be better for our economy. We're closing a loophole that's being misused perhaps by some, and fantastic. Well, that's all very well and good, but the problem is that farmers have been inadvertently swept into that. And this is what many of us are sort of shouting about, the NFU as well. We're trying to explain that while there are some who are playing that game, a lot of farmers do still own their own land. Not everybody, but there are a lot of farmers who own their own land. And tenanted farmers are affected as well, because ultimately those landowners who are now faced themselves with inheritance are considering selling or what they need to do. So as much as it can be problematic that some may be misusing that setup, the majority of farmers also have been swept into that, whether they be landowning or tenanted. So as much as, you know, of course, I'm not for people trying to use loopholes that mean their quids in and escape taxes that others have no choice but to pay. Of course, I'm not for that. But unfortunately, this has been a very broad sweeping tax or idea that has, whether advertently or inadvertently, swept up what the NFU believes to be 75% of farmers as well. So that could be a very different landscape. And the thing I often ask if people question me about why shouldn't the loophole be closed? Why, you know, A, as I've said, this is not a loophole, although some may use it as such. But B, who do you want owning land? Do you want farmers owning land? Do you want producers to own land? Or do you want land to be used for solar? Would you like it to be used for housing? Because ultimately, the people who will buy the land won't be farmers. They will be investors and developers, because farmers can't afford to buy the land. That's why it's been passed down. That's why this property relief exists.
So you've spoken there a little bit about what you think might happen if these inheritance tax changes go ahead. What changes will the rest of us see? And why do you think we should care if some farmers do have to sell up?
Well, firstly, if you would like any fresh, high quality food on your plate, I would suggest thinking very carefully about what this means for you. I strongly believe that if this tax is to go through, and if farmers aren't able to prepare, and we aren't able to come to any kind of agreement with government, we will see farms go up for sale. Certainly in Hertfordshire, farms will be up for sale. Across the country, 75% is the figure that the National Farmers Union are working with. So 3/4 of farms affected, and that could see the mass sale of farms. And the reality is farmers won't be able to afford to buy other farms. So farms, I imagine, will be sold to developers, especially overseas developers. It's something I've already heard about. It's in the pipeline. So people seeking investment in the UK, which will probably ultimately mean, and of course, I don't have a crystal ball, a lot more housing and development. You know, there's no protection then for our biodiversity either. So it's not just about food security. Family farms, all farms actually, we are guardians, custodians of the countryside. We are in charge of looking after our countryside. That's what we do. Every hedge that you see in the countryside, every tree, that is managed by someone, and it's usually a farmer. So we will see a very, very different Great British countryside, and I would be very worried about that. But certainly for food security, I think it would be under immense threat. And we have the highest food standards in the world, thanks to Red Tractor. We have an amazing ability to produce fantastic fresh food with minimal food miles. And that just will not be possible if farmers aren't farming.
Okay, that certainly makes sense. Now, you've been keeping up the pressure on the government, asking them to change their minds about inheritance tax. Were you one of the farmers driving your tractor down to London? And how did the day of farm unity go?
So we've had several occasions where we've sort of reached out to government. On Monday, the 10th of February, we had a gathering in London. I unfortunately was not able to attend, but there was a large gathering outside Westminster as this was being debated, this topic. And more locally in Hertfordshire in January, we had a day of unity. This was echoed across the whole country. So it was a day just to sort of gather together with our communities and share in what farming looks like in their area, and also to talk about the family farm tax and what it means for their local area. And we had such a terrific response. We were so grateful for the wonderful support that we received in Welwyn Garden City. And we were really grateful to be able to share what we are doing and ultimately what this tax will mean for those living in and around Hertfordshire.
Right. So if we agree with your campaign, what would you like us to do?
There's a petition online, which is courtesy of the National Farmers Union. So it's Stop the Family Farm Tax. So if you are interested in having a say, there's a chance there to sign the petition, which is putting a good deal of pressure on government. So really trying to lobby government, get the conversation going. Another way would be to write to your MP. The more we get letters over the table, as it were, and talk about how this is important for our community, because that's what this really comes down to, that hopefully will put pressure on, and we can start a conversation. We want to have a structured conversation about the future of food in this country and biodiversity, and indeed what we can deliver environmentally, because we have such great power and ability to do so. And so if you're at home and thinking, well, actually, I agree with that, I'd like to help to support that, you know, writing to your MP would be a great start, and signing the petition. And otherwise, buying British, local and seasonal food is really important, because ultimately that's what keeps us going.
Indeed. Hannah, thank you so much for explaining that to us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Hannah added after our conversation that the worries about these changes to taxation of farmers are actually adding to the mental health issues that farmers already have. Previously, the Farm Safety Foundation found that up to 94% of UK farmers under the age of 40 say that mental health is one of the biggest hidden problems that they faced day to day. And just to add that the government says that its commitment to farmers is steadfast. It says that there is also an urgent need to repair the public finances in as fair a way as possible and that the reform of the reliefs strikes the right balance. Now, I'll pop a link to the petition that Hannah mentioned into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And whilst you're there, you might like to take a listen to me talking to Emily Hopkins of the NEF about the free retrofit plans that they are offering to all Hertfordshire residents. Now, the scheme is still open, so if you've not yet had a survey around to create your free home energy retrofit plan report, then there's still time to apply and find out how you can make your home cheaper to run, more comfortable and greener. Now, there's no compulsion to take things any further once you've got your report, but the NEF have found that a good proportion of people, once they understand the retrofit possibilities for their home, do go ahead and take steps that reduce their home's energy consumption. Again, I'll pop the link to the scheme webpage into the notes that go with the podcast of this show for easy reference. And the other podcast that you might like to revisit is the one from right at the end of last year when we heard about how you can contribute to Nature's Calendar. That's the citizen science records about the changing of the seasons so we can better understand climate change and its effect on nature. Now, I have seen snatches of blossom just starting to pop up in a hedgerow. And you've probably noticed other signs that spring is creeping up on us. So why not turn your sightings into citizen signs and record them on the Nature's Calendar website? Just to give you a taste, some of the things that we're being asked to look out for are the first frog spawn, blue tits and other birds carrying beakfuls of nesting material, and bud burst on a whole range of trees, including things like silver birch. Now, the website gives lots of guidance on identifying what you're looking at, so no worries if, like me, you've still got plenty to learn there. Do get in touch if there's a topic that you would like to hear more about. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6, on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week. But until then, thank you for listening.